Adventures in Rescue. How's your blood pressure? Too high, too low, or happily normal? There isn't a 20th century American that doesn't know about blood pressure, but few indeed that know the man that discovered the measurement. So now, meet the inquisitive vicar. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of Stephen Hales. And who was Stephen Hales?
Well, he's been here at Teddington since 1709. I remember well the day he came here. I said to my sister, well, there's a nice-looking vicar.
Mind ye, I have nothing against the vicar. But the other morning, he came a-bounding into my kitchen and ran over to the stove. Morning, vicar, I said, as polite as can be. And will you join me in a spot of tea? Well, he barely nodded his head and ran to the stove and took off the top of the teapot and peeked inside.
Well, maybe he just wanted to know if he had enough for an extra cup.
Not so, for I said, come now, vicar, there's plenty of hot water for the teapot. And he said it wasn't that at all. He just wanted to see how much stone had gotten into the teapot.
Stone?
Aye, stone. The stuff that forms on the inside of the teapot, you know. Well, he said that and nodded his head and smack. Out the door before I had a chance to say hello, goodbye, or be with you.
Aye, Mr. Hobbs. But all in all, the vicar is a good one. Not like some of the vicars, off riding to the hounds, or having the lords and the peerage in, not Mr. Hales.
Aye. As a vicar, Teddington could want none better.
So say we all. My, he was talking to my brother only the other day about the colony of Georgia over in the New World, and he seemed to be interested in it. You know, I think it well for a vicar to take an interest in things.
Aye, indeed, indeed.
What was it he said about the stone that had settled in the teapot?
Upon my oath, Emmy, I clean forgot to ask him. But as I say, Emmy, Teddington could look far and wide to find a better vicar than Stephen Hales. And I say...
Hush now. Huh? Look out yon window.
Tis the vicar himself.
Speak of angels and hear the fluttering of their wings. Good morning, vicar.
Good morning, vicar. Nice morning.
Good day to you, Miss Emmy, and to you, Mr. Hobbs. It is indeed a lovely morning.
Taking a stroll, vicar? Nice to be out in the air and having a walk.
Oh, no. No, I'm on my way to Mr. Graham's stable.
By?
Oh, yes, I am, Mr. Hobbs. That wall-eyed horse that Mr. Graham has.
Vicar. Such a horse is good for naught. Mr. Graham is having you on if he tries to sell you such a horse. Why, for riding...
Oh, I don't want the horse for riding, Mr. Hobbs.
You don't now?
No, indeed. I want to make an incision in its femoral artery.
But, Vicar, I say Mr. Graham and the horse will wait. I was only remarking to Mr. Hobbs before you passed by that I thought I'd bake a pie. And it's pleased I'd be if he'd stop by for a slice to take home for your lunch.
Why, thank you, Miss Emmy.
No better pie baker in the county, Vicar.
Yes. One thing, Miss Emmy. Did you ever try using a teacup in your pie?
A teacup?
Oh, my, yes. I have found out that an inverted teacup in pies and tarts will prevent the syrup from boiling over and be of inestimable help preserving the juices. You try it. And Hobbs, come along with me to the stable. I may need your help with this horse.
To be sure, Vicar. Be glad to. But, help you? How?
Well, I'll have to incise the artery. Someone has to hold the tube.
Tube?
Surely. Come along, Hobbs. Good morning, Miss Emmy.
Good morning, Miss Emmy.
Good day to you, Vicar. Good day, Mr. Hobbs. Teacup in a pie. Now, where did I put that teacup?
The perpetual vicar of Teddington from 1709 to 1761 was a most inquisitive man, from teacups and pies to all-eyed horses to stone encrusted in tea kettles. Nothing escaped the sharp eyes of Stephen Hales. He found time for his many ecclesiastical duties, aiding the success of the Georgia colony and making hundreds of scientific experiments. But by now, Hobbs and the vicar had led the old horse back to the vicarage, tethered it to the stable, and...
Oh, the horse should be fine there, Hobbs. Now, come along inside with me, and we'll get the materials we'll need.
Right after you, Vicar. Getting a bit late, Vicar.
Oh, I know. No, I didn't mean to tarry so long, but I had to stop and talk to Mr. Graham about that new stable he's building.
Yes.
I wanted to point out to him that if he would only leave some air holes in the outwalls of the ground rooms, he'd be less liable to have rotting joists and floors.
And then we stopped at the docks quite a bit.
Well, I've been wanting to see Mr. Witherspoon for days. A few evenings ago, an idea occurred to me how they might keep the bottom of their boats, and the floors, too, how they could keep them sound. And this is the first I've seen of Mr. Witherspoon since the thought occurred to me.
Vicar, I never knew you to be a seafaring man.
Oh, I'm not, Hobbs. But the idea just struck me, and I knew Witherspoon would like to hear it. Come along now.
You sure have a lot of ideas, Vicar. But maybe you should be helping people less and let them help you a spell.
Hmm?
Why, your fence needs painting badly, Vicar. Look at it. Somebody didn't finish the job. Painted the tops of the posts white and never even bothered to paint the bottom of them.
Oh, I did that myself. Well, you see, I noticed that white paint is far more visible at night, and thought that should I paint the top part of the posts white, people wouldn't walk into them after dark and do themselves injury. I have the edge of the steps painted with a white line. Makes them much easier to see in the dark. Here now, I think this will do.
And just what is it we're doing, Vicar?
Well, my dear Hobbs, I thought I explained it to you.
You started to several times, Vicar. But then you got to talking to Mr. Graham about air holes and Mr. Witherspoon about ship bottoms.
Well, I've been thinking about our bodies, Mr. Hobbs.
Eh?
And what miracles we all are. Well, here is all that blood pumping through our systems. And it occurred to me that if the blood is pumped, there must be pressure. Just like pumping water from your well, eh, Hobbs?
Well, as you say, Vicar, I haven't done much pumping since my back went lame. My mother's been doing the heavy work.
Yes. Well, as I say, there must be pressure. And then I wondered, how much pressure does the blood exert? How strong is the force that pumps, eh?
My stars, Vicar, you are the thinkingest man in Teddington.
Oh, I don't know about that. But thinking does little without knowing. So we're going to take that mare, place a tube over an artery, and see how high the pressure forces the blood up the tube. Now, a few notes first. Let's see. The mare is about 6 years of age.
She's 14 hands high, I'd estimate, Vicar, with a fistula on her withers.
Neither lean nor yet lusty. Oh, now, Hobbs, I'll take the knife and the glass tube, and you the brass tube and the brass pipe. Here, this one. Mm-hmm. And now, I think I can insert the brass tube 1/6 of an inch in diameter, and then this brass pipe fits into the other, and then the glass tube.
I say, Vicky, it's all of 9 feet long, that tube.
I think that should be about the length we shall need. Come along, Hobbs.
Finished with the experiment, Stephen Hales was not far wrong. The blood rose in the tube 8 feet 3 inches, showing a pressure due to the heartbeat equal to the weight of a column of blood this high. At first time, became mystically aware of blood pressure.
Well, Vicar, it's been a good day's work. The mare not armed a bit, and thus with our results, eh?
Indeed so, Hobbs. 8 feet 3 inches arterial pressure. 12 inches pressure in the vein. Now we'd best be on our way.
On our way? Aren't we through yet, Vicar?
Indeed, no. We have to get over to Miss Emmy's and taste that succulent pie she's been baking for us. They're much, much better if you use a teacup, you know. Come along, Hop.
Following the example of the inquisitive Vicar, A French scientist named Jean Poiseuille invented the hemodynamometer. This instrument measures the pressure by a direct insert of a cannula into the blood vessel, exactly as Hales did. But it substituted a column of mercury for a column of blood. But these measurements were made on animals. The first record of the blood pressure in men was made in 1856 by Favre, who did exactly as the inquisitive vicar Stephen Hales did with the mayor.
I inserted the tube in the femoral artery of a man during an operation for amputation of the leg. But instead of recording the height of the column of blood, I read the pressure as recorded on a column of mercury. The measurement was 120 millimeters, or approximately the man's age added to 100.
This standard is still commonly thought of as normal for the systolic or maximum blood pressure, as contrasted to the diastolic or minimum, which is considerably less. Not until 1887, a little over 60 years ago, did von Bosch devise the sphygmomanometer, the instrument with a rubber cuff encircling the arm, pumped up with air by a hand bulb and connected to a mercury manometer. And this, with a few minor improvements, has become the standard instrument of today. But all of these methods owe much of their success in the recording of blood pressure to the agile mind and eager hands of that inquisitive vicar, Stephen Hales.
I say, Emmy, I was talking to the vicar yesterday. He came to inquire about my mother, poor dear. Worn herself out, he said. I don't know how.
And what did the vicar have to say?
Why, he was telling me about something called spinal reflexes.
Sakes be. And what are those?
I don't rightly understand myself, except he says that it's like when you draw your finger back from a hot cinder. And he didn't leave without taking some roots with him, some of the plants my mother has.
Plants? Why, he has a house full of them now.
I know, but he wanted them. As he wants to know more about sap in the trees.
He's a wonderful man, the vicar. There doesn't seem to be nothing that doesn't interest him. And nothing he can't do.
Except bake pie like yours, Emmy. Cut me another piece, would you?
Yes, not only did the Reverend Dr. Stephen Hales pioneer in the investigation of blood pressure, but in his study of botany, first introduced the theory of rising sap and measurement of root pressures. His amazing inquisitiveness, his ability to test, measure, and record, won for him a lasting, if relatively unknown, place in the annals of science. For this amazing man also found a process for distilling fresh from seawater, a method of preventing corn weevils by fumigation, a sea gauge for water sounding. And for that matter, in 1734, he even found time to caution fellow man with a treatise entitled Admonition Drinkers of Gin, Brandy, etc. And that's today's adventure in research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.